Father, we thank you for this man of God who has your heart, who hears the prophetic word, who has such seeing and visions, and Lord, that he just walks in it. We thank you for him. We thank you that you've brought him here to us today. We just pray for his word. We pray for a real flow of your Holy Spirit through him, and that we would hear from you deeper today, Lord. Bless his words. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Wow, thank you. All right, awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. Hi. If you don't know me, I am the son of Nigel and Pam. There's Nigel, and my mum was playing keys, and I was born and raised in Taunton, and this is my home church. And this is my beautiful wife, Gina. Do you want to wave? Hi. And we currently live in Norway for the last almost 2 years now, since January 2018. And we work for God TV, so we travel quite a bit. In fact, next week we're traveling to Sweden and Copenhagen in Denmark and the north of Norway. So we're very blessed. We have a fun job, quite a challenging job. And we also build our own business, so we're very busy together. So it's a real privilege to come back and just share with you. And I understand you're in a month of prayer and prophetic, which is really exciting. And so Gino and I are very honored to have an opportunity to share. And I even took the time to make a presentation, and it's working, I believe. That's good. It's on a Mac, so wow. Yeah. All right. So we had a really fun time yesterday. And for those who could come and join us yesterday, thank you so much. And you might hear, well, you will hear some of the things I shared yesterday, but you know, God likes to repeat himself quite a lot because we don't always get it, do we? So I'm not going to apologize for that, and I'm not clever enough to have lots and lots and lots of new things. So anyway, so I'm speaking on the prophetic. I'm speaking on prophecy. And I know this church historically has really invested in spiritual gifts, especially the prophetic. So I know a lot of you know a lot already about the prophetic, which is awesome. And just in the prayer meeting before this service, it's so encouraging that when we pray for each other, everyone, there's so many words, there's so much encouragement. And that's just really great. It's awesome. And how great it would be, wouldn't it, if the culture of our church and the culture of the church globally would be one where we speak encouragement. Like I said, it's a habitual thing that people come in and they're encouraged. People come in and they're challenged. People come in and their identity is called out of them. Because we all need it. We all need it all the time. That's just reality. We do. So the prophetic. The scripture that God really put on my heart for this is Revelation 19:10, which says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And this is going to work. I believe it. There you go. Oh, yeah. Well, it's okay. Can you read that? No, not really. But it says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." It's Revelation 19:10. Now, this really struck me. This really hit me. What is the testimony of Jesus? Oh, why do we have these things? There you go. What is the testimony of Jesus? What is it? So this was something that I thought about, and very quickly, I'm going to try and go quick, and I know, again, that I'm repeating to some of you. We all have a testimony, don't we? We all have before we met God, when we met God, and life after God. We all have that. So we're all part of Jesus' testimony. Jesus' testimony is, I mean, it's been shared already this morning. He came to earth, didn't he? And he died for our sin. He made a way for us. It's amazing. We're all actively engaged and part of the testimony of Jesus. I mean, I actually wrote this here. Testimony. Man, my notes. Testimony is the spoken or written record of anything he has done. The spoken or written record. Who can think of a spoken or a written record of Jesus? Well done, Karen. What is it? The word of God. Amen. So we have the written word of God. Jesus is the word made flesh. So we have his testimony, and the testimony of Jesus prophesies. because anything that we, any promise of God, anything that he's done, the story that builds our faith gives us courage for what he can do in the future, because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever, isn't he? Amen. So we can be encouraged, can't we? Like, even his word prophesies to us. And any of us who's been through a difficult time in life, you know, the word of God becomes like, especially the word, you know, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet, you know? Like, when life feels dark and you need a bit of direction, you don't really know where to go, you know that God's word is a lamp unto your feet. And when you've walked through that season, you know that if you ever come into that season again, you have courage and you have faith that God is a lamp unto your feet, and you prophesy that into your very life. And you know, you take it with you, don't you? It's really awesome. But yet, you know, even in our own individual lives, our testimony, what we carry, what we do, is all part of the testimony of Christ, because we're in him, we're in Christ, and he's in us. So we're all part of the testimony of Jesus. It's pretty exciting if you think about it. It's pretty awesome. So, yeah, there's so much more, why don't you? So, like, right, so next, please, wife. Wifey. Oh, there you go. So, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So, I was thinking about the prophetic and how very quickly, often, we can make it very confusing and very difficult, and we can get a little bit lost in everything. And I was like, God, if I'm going to share this, can you just help me? And he took me to this verse, which is John 14, I think. 14:6. There you go. John 14:6. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We all know this. We've all heard this. But no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. So Jesus came that we can come to the Father. So his testimony, which isn't an exhaustive list, obviously. We'll talk about his testimony forever. But just for the purposes of this morning, he is the way to the Father. So Jesus comes so we can have access and return to the Father. The way to the Father. See that? It's cool. Yeah. All right. So we're all happy with that. Okay, good. Thanks, Jay. Put a lot of time and effort into this presentation, guys. You know, I'd like some respect for it. Okay, good. All right. So, very exciting. We are part of the testimony of Jesus. Now, the other thing we have to consider with Jesus is that his testimony, like, we talk about the gospel of Christ, don't we? We talk about the good news. And I just wanted to touch on this briefly, because I think, especially in the Christian world, we get used to terms, universal terms, and you know, we just use these terms very casually, and we think about the gospel of Christ. Cool. Great. So we live in a day and age where our attention span is really, really small. Like, Gina and I, we work for God TV, we work for a media company. Now, just doing a little bit of research online, like market researchers say, if you have a standard job today, not working in a farm or on a tractor, not that's not standard, but an office-based job, you could see up to 5,000 ads in one day. And that's not just at work. That'll be on the television, maybe hear it on the radio. That's ridiculous, if you think about it. Totally insane. Also, 80% of visitors will abandon a website within the first 5 seconds. So the point is that people scroll, people flick. We don't engage. We don't have a high attention span. We are totally submersed in information. That's our culture. We all know this. The average person spends 6 to 9 hours a day consuming media. 6 to 9 hours. And that's probably, in America, they reckon it's 9 to 12. I don't know why America is any different to us, but they do everything a bit more over the top. So makes sense. But that's crazy. And all of this to say that attention and engagement is the currency of this generation. People are desperate. They're longing for attention. They're longing for engagement. They're longing for it. We're created for it. We're created to be with the apple of his eye, aren't we? That's why we're here. What's the testimony of Jesus? The way to the Father. Everyone doesn't know it, but everybody's longing to get back to the Father. It's written in everyone's DNA. That's the truth. And one of the side effects of that and just our culture today is that, yeah, we just, I don't know, we're just everywhere, aren't we? We're so busy. Just like we were talking about the steps of the prophetic yesterday, the first one is be still. You know, that's actually a really hard thing to do in this day and age, is to fix your eyes on him. It's not natural. So the gospel of Jesus, coming back to that, the gospel of Jesus is nearly too good to be true news. It's not just good news. It's nearly too good to be true news. It's the most unbelievable, incredible news. It's the most outrageous, ridiculous news. It's not just good news. And the reason we have to grasp this is because everybody needs to hear the gospel of Christ. You know, there's so many gospels today. It's not just, you know, Nike has a gospel. Just do it. Nike has a story. Nike isn't just a clothes manufacturer. It's a force. It's a global force. You think about all the different gospels that we're surrounded by, all the different messages, all the different good news that people are trying to project on us. We can't just say, oh, the gospel of Christ is good news. No, it's the news that took you from death to life. It's the news that totally changed your life. And we get to engage in that life. We get to be part of the testimony of God. It's unbelievable news. It's incredible news. But we have to keep that news alive in us. Because if we're not excited about it, we're not going to excite anyone else about it. But we're all, you know, but people will be excited about the latest whatever. You know? Amen? Okay, so the way, the truth, and the life. The way. Jesus is the way. He is the way to the Father. So prophetic, the primary function of the prophetic, really, we read in Scripture, and I'm really looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, but Paul teaches that it's to edify, to encourage, and to lift up, or to build up. I think that's what I got here. To give courage, to build up, and to comfort. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. We all need this. All of us need this. All of us need courage. I mean, just imagine this. I mean, we just take the term, oh, you know, we get to encourage people. But encouraging is giving someone courage. It's giving someone courage to step into what God has called you to do and what God has called you to be. It's a phenomenal gift. It's so important. And what's the source of our courage? Jesus is the source of our courage. Amen? Pardon? He is. So just on that, on the prophetic, there is a way. Thank you, honey. There, because we're talking about the prophetic as well. There is a way to prophesy, and there's a way to not prophesy. You know, we live in a world where everything is analytical, and there's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of critique. In Scripture, Paul says about five times, if you read through the verse, about edifying the church, edifying the church, edifying the church. What does that mean? If God shows you a picture for someone or reveals something to you about someone, he's trusting you that you're going to reveal his heart to that person. Because Jesus is the way. So really what the prophetic is opening up a way of encounter with the Father. That's the purpose of it. It's not, you know, so it's not our job to walk around and like criticize and put people down. It's our job to encourage and build people up. And sometimes God shares a word with us, and actually before we share the word, we have to go to God and say, okay, Father, how do you want me? How do I share this? You know? Because if that word feels negative to you, or if that person is in sin or in darkness, then it's your job to call out the light. And it's your job to tell them what God sees. And it's your job to pull out their identity and remind them of who they are. Amen. I know this seems obvious and common sense, but common sense is not always common practice, sadly. And we need to know that there is a way. Jesus is the way, and he has shown us the way. There's a way to speak to each other, and there's a way not to. And there's a way to encourage, you know? Amen? Okay, good. Excellent. Good job, Stu. Thank you. Okay, the truth. Jesus is the truth. And, you know, we need to know the truth. The Bible is full of truth. And I think often we can believe lies and we can be unsure on what the truth is and what the truth really means to us. And what verse did I have for this? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. It talks about in Acts, I think it's Joel who prophesies, that the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. And basically, the point is that it's for all of us as Christians. We're all of us have the Spirit of God in us. All of us are called to prophesy. It's not an optional thing. And, you know, in, where is it? 1 Corinthians 12, concerning the spiritual gifts. You know, there's 9 gifts, the same Spirit. You know, I'll save that for a minute, actually. I'll save that for a minute. But there's 9 gifts. It's the same Spirit that gives them all. We all have the Holy Spirit in us, don't we? Everyone who has the Holy Spirit in us, in them, has the ability to prophesy anytime they want. The prophetic is a gift. We can use it whenever we want. And the Spirit of God has been poured out on all things. Okay, we've moved on. Okay, sorry. Right, this is the next thing. There's 3 things we need to have a ministry, okay? I wanted to touch on this just to clarify. Okay, a gift gives ability. Seems obvious. Next. A calling gives our identity. An anointing gives purpose. Okay, so the prophetic is a gift. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. The prophetic is one of them. There's 9 that's listed in the Bible in 1 Corinthians. Oh, thank you. Okay, so this is really important. This is really important because a gift is something that naturally is given of God. God gives us the gift. Using the spiritual gift doesn't make you spiritual, doesn't make you mature in Christ. It doesn't say any of those things. It's just a gift that you've received. How do we know this? I know many times, okay, where someone gets saved, and 5 minutes after they've been saved, they're healing somebody, they're praying for somebody. The power of God is moving through them very, very strongly. It's not because they're super spiritual. They've only been saved for 2 minutes. It's what I'm trying to say, the gift is a reflection of the giver. It's not a reflection of you or your importance or your maturity or even your walk with God. And the reason we need to know this is because often we will discount ourselves of using the gifts because we don't think we're good enough. And it's not scriptural. It's not biblical. It's totally wrong. So we need to understand. Now, calling gives our identity. Paul is called to be an apostle of Christ. His identity was an apostle. He is an apostle. You can't choose to be an apostle. You can't choose to be a prophet. They're God-given offices. It's your identity. You can choose to use any of the spiritual gifts, but God chooses your identity. God chooses if you're a prophet. God chooses if you're an apostle. It's chosen by God. It's your identity. It's who you are. It's your makeup, okay? Everyone happy with that? Yeah? Yeah. So let's just think about this. If the prophetic was, if you think of the prophetic gifting, if you think of a gift and relate it to your identity, depending on how you're performing in your gift, will mean you have a performance-based identity. And that's not fun. No one wants that. So we need to be really clear, okay? Now, an anointing gives us purpose. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to do what? to preach the good news, to do the stuff, to get out there. See, the anointing gives us purpose. Now, where the gifts and call of God are without repentance, he doesn't take them away. The anointing really ebbs and flows. That really matters with our relationship with God. Now, all of these matter with our relationship with God. The more we get to know God, the more comfortable we are with God, the more we're seeking God and becoming Christ-like, like Dave was sharing today. You know, the more we're growing in God, the more we're growing in love, the more confident we're going to have, the more confidence we're going to have and walk with him. But the anointing, if you don't feel the anointing or if you haven't felt the anointing, it's not on God. It's on you. It's on us. Because the anointing, the Holy Spirit lives in us, but the Holy Spirit isn't always on us. You know, if you step away from the fire, you get cold. The fire doesn't go out, but you know what I mean? It's the same thing. We have to, and often, like, if people say, oh, you know, I used to have the gift of prophecy, but now I don't. Well, actually, that's not true, because God doesn't take his gifts away. What really you're saying is that I used to flow in the Holy Spirit, and now I'm not. And there could be a whole reasons of that, and maybe you've been through a really tough time, and, you know, that's okay, we're human, but we need to know the truth. Amen? Everyone happy with that? Yeah? Good. Thanks, Bruno. All right. Good. So let me just check this here. Yeah, so I just wanted to say, like, often people ask about, like, so the prophet versus prophecy. Again, we talk about the fivefold ministry where, I think it's in Ephesians, where Jesus said, you know, I've called some to be prophet, evangelist, teacher, so on, so on. And so that's an identity. A prophet is an identity. A prophet isn't necessarily on the earth just to go around prophesying. If you read through that scripture, it talks about Jesus gives gifts. He gives gifts of grace. Let me just get my notes on this so I don't lie to you. So Ephesians 4:7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure Christ appointed it. So Christ has given each of us gifts, okay? And actually, the foundation, the fivefold ministry, I'm going quick, but the fivefold ministry, the purpose of those gifts, so the purpose of being a prophet and the fivefold is to actually build the church, is to encourage the church. Not everyone is called to be a prophet. Not everyone is called in the sense of calling to have a ministry gift to the church, if that makes sense. You know, some of us will be called to other areas of life, you know, in the marketplace, in the business, in whatever. Because sometimes people think that the goal is to be a prophet, or the goal is to be an apostle, or the, you know, that's not what Scripture is saying. Not at all. Scripture is saying that Christ has apportioned some to do that, and actually they're the foundation. We're not trying to reach, you know, we're not trying to reach to be these things. It's, you know, the prophet is part of the foundation that other people build on. So it's the foundation, it's the bottom. And in a sense, like I've heard this explained, like when you go around someone's house, you don't show them the foundation. Hey, you know, look at, got 2 feet of concrete. It's nice, isn't it? No, you don't. You show them whatever, the bathroom, the window, the extension. I don't know. You see what I mean? We need to know the truth. And but they're wonderful. It's wonderful if you're called. But it's not something we need to go around being worried about, you know? But what we do need is to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And I mentioned this yesterday, that that's a command. It's not a, you know, God's not like, oh yeah, eagerly desire them. No, it's like, eagerly desire my gifts. I want to give you my gifts. I want to reach my people. I want to touch my people. So we need to eagerly desire them. Amen? Okay, I'm not sure how well I explained that, but that's okay. So God never takes gifts away. If you're not walking in them and you want to, don't give up, you know? Like, I was so blessed yesterday because, like I said, this church is a mature church, really. Like, you know, and there was 30-odd people that came yesterday. And everybody who came really has really journeyed in the prophetic. And it really blessed me to see that the people are coming because they're hungry and they eagerly desire to go further. And everyone who came yesterday, I can confidently say, was encouraged because we all prayed and prophesied over each other. And it was awesome and it was easy and it was fun. And yeah, and I feel like that's what God is trying to say. Eagerly desire it. It's, you're my kids. Okay, now we're going to move on. So the way, there's a way to prophesy, okay? There's truth. We need to know the truth. We need to know who we are. We need to know and understand scripture. We need to not discount ourselves, because when we discount ourselves, we make it about ourselves. And we're believers. We're not the feelers. It's not about how you feel. It's about what you believe. It's about knowing the truth and being set free in the truth, to walk in the truth, to speak his truth. Thanks, Jay. So, like, and the life. Or just life. The life. So the way, the truth, and the life. The prophetic gives life. Jesus' words is life. Amen? So sometimes people say, like, I'm not prophetic. I don't have a prophetic bone in my body, or I don't hear God, or God never heals people. I pray for people and they never get healed, or whatever. You know, God never commands you to do anything that will violate your identity. This really hit me. This is so powerful. God never commands you to do anything that would violate your own identity, ever. So if you haven't experienced the spiritual gifts or walked in them, you know, it's not because you don't have them. It's because you haven't discovered that part of your identity yet. That's how good God is. We are a prophetic people. We all hear God. We're all full of the Holy Spirit. At any time, you can choose to engage with that gift. You can prophesy any time you want. That's scripture. Any time you want. It's a gift. Any time you want to engage with that gift, you can. You can. Now, if the anointing of God is on you and you really feel it in the back of your hair, stand up, or you feel peace, or however you feel the anointing, that's awesome, because you might, God might be like, right, I have a purpose, you know, he's really directing you. And that's amazing. We love that. But if you don't feel the anointing, God's already given you the gift. Holy Spirit lives in you. It's not dependent on how you feel. Amen? Okay, good. So the life. For this, I was like really struck by, we all know about Peter. And when Christ comes to him, and, well, they're in the boat, and there's a storm, and Christ walks out on the water, and Peter says, if it's really you, ask me, and I will come. And Jesus says, come. And Peter walks on water, doesn't he? He walks on the water. Peter was walking on the word. He's walking on the word that Jesus spoke. Now, that's really powerful. You just think about that and let that sink in. Now, I know, I felt in my spirit, praying and preparing for this, that there are many words that have been spoken over you as individuals that you're not walking on. And many words. Many words. What, you know, there are many things in Scripture where, you know, that we can't do without the supernatural power of Christ. We're not meant to. We're not meant to do it. That, you know, the whole idea of the prophetic is to move us into the supernatural realm. It's to move us into things that we won't do without God. And I just felt like God saying, like, church, what word has God given you? What prophetic word, or what word do you have right now that is causing you to step out of the boat and do the impossible? Because there should be one, or two, or five. And if there's not, then there probably is somewhere on your shelf with cobwebs on it that you need to re-engage with, or you need to go to God and you need to get one. You need to get in his word and get one. Amen? Because we are a people that is called to walk on the word. We're a people that are called to do the impossible, to do things we can't do without Christ. And this is really, really powerful. This is really, really key that we understand. And I want to excite you because I feel like, here's an example. I don't know if this is a great example, but I'm going to give it anyway. So like we were in Norway. We've been coming up 2 years and I don't speak Norwegian. I get a lot of grief for that, but I still don't really. And I was praying to God. We go to a Hillsong church locally because they have great translation. And, you know, Hillsong's cool. And I was like, God, I need some friends for one. And I don't want to feel guilty or like I'm putting on people because I'm making them speak English all the time. And then I got a phone call from the guy who kind of welcomes you. And he took my number at the church when we visited. And he was like, hey, Stu, we're starting a men's group. And we've decided that this is going to be a men's group for English-speaking people. I was like, thanks, God. It's pretty cool. And that was a real answer to prayer because it was like, I didn't feel bad about it. He was like, no, we're doing it in English. We've already decided we really want to because there was a couple other people. And there's another English guy I've met through that group called George. He's actually a British guy. Lived in Norway for like 12 years. He settled there, got his family and business there. So he speaks, you know, he's fluent Norwegian. Anyway, so we're at a home group one night, just as lads. And I just see this picture for George. And I basically see a tree. And at the base of the tree, there's this big wedge cut out of the tree like this. And the tree shouldn't be standing. And God was like saying, I am... This tree by itself shouldn't stand, but I'm going to cause this tree to stand, and I'm going to cause this tree to flourish. And there were some other things, and I was like, I don't really know this guy, and that kind of sounds a bit negative. So I just shared it with him the best I could, and I encouraged him the best I could, and I'm like, this is what I believe God is saying. Anyway, a week goes by, and he's like, oh, can you send me the word? So I wrote it up. I sent it to him. The morning after I sent that word, I get a text from George. They've taken my baby. Can you pray? I don't know what's happening. I didn't even know his wife was pregnant because we don't know each other. You know, I didn't know his wife was pregnant, but sadly, when Joshua was born, he suffered level 4 asphyxiation. And we all prayed. We had a hard journey, a week's journey, where he was on respiratory support. When they took him off, He breathed on his own for about 24 hours and he passed. And it was very, very hard. It was very, very sad. And, oh. Anyway, fast forward, it must be a year, 8 months, a year. George calls me and says, Stu, the word you gave me has sustained me. The word you gave me has become my reality. And I know that God is in it. And I know that God has me. Isn't that amazing? I had no idea. And this isn't, I'm not sharing this because I'm good. I didn't have a proper context for the word. I didn't know his wife was pregnant. I didn't know his son was going to die, obviously. All I did was I was open and I was like, God, you know. And really through that, George has had an encounter with the Father he wouldn't have had. The point is that all of us have this opportunity all the time, and we discount ourselves all the time because we don't think we're good enough, we don't think we know enough, but the gifts aren't for us. There's only one gift that's really for us, and that's tongues. And we should all be speaking in tongues as much as we can because that's our own spirit, you know. It's like, yeah, we get to do that as much as we can. We can charge ourselves up or whatever, which is cool. But the gifts are for others. The gifts are for his people. The gifts are to encounter. We all get to engage with the Father. We all get to give people glimpses of heaven. And it's an awesome responsibility. And it's an awesome privilege. So I'm pretty much done. But yeah, so just this whole, this is what I wanted to really leave you with. So there's a way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through him. He is the way. There is a way to prophesy. There is a way to move in the spiritual gifts. There's truth. We need to know the truth. If we don't know the truth, the devil will take you out. He will. You'll get taken down by false doctrine, by fake news, by ungodly beliefs. The only way to walk in truth is to know the word of God. There isn't another way. Obviously, we encourage and we help each other, but if you don't know the word of God, and if you're not in the word of God, you're going to go astray. That's not what I say, that's what he says. And he knows. So if you want to really, I mean, why be a Christian, right? Let's just think about this. Why be a Christian and not have walk in the spiritual gifts and not engage with Holy Spirit and have fun with Holy Spirit? Like, who wants that? It's so much fun. It's awesome. It's so, and I'm saying this to myself, like, you know. So it's awesome. We get to do it. And there's the life. It gives life. We get to be life givers. We just hear, you know, there's people like God TV. We work for God TV. We broadcast to nations where the gospel isn't allowed, where you can't do what we're doing today, you know. And Joe was saying, as he was taking us through, like, the prophetic yesterday, he was saying, like, you know, if we don't start doing this now, there'll come a time where, you know, there'll be opportunity to really not only give prophetic words, but teach others how to do it and teach others how to hear God and teach others how to move in the Spirit. And if we're not comfortable and if we don't know this, then maybe, you know what I mean? Like, we have an awesome, awesome opportunity. The world is so hungry, so hungry. I know that the world is dark, but it's hungry for God. We have a fatherless generation, and there's so much hunger now. Like, attention and engagement, the currency of this generation. People long for it. That's why Facebook Lives and things like that are so popular. People want some form of reality. They don't want this perfect, brushed up, you know. They don't want it. They want something real, and they're searching for something real all the time. What do we do? What do we do with the LGBTQ movement? What do we do? You know, what do we do with it? Well, we need to know our God. We need to know who he is. And we need to be able to show people and speak life into them and speak truth into them and know how we're going to do it. And we need to do it with confidence. And we need to do it with assurity because we know who we are. Amen? Amen? All right, so what word are you walking on? What has God spoken over you that you cannot do without him? What are you excited about? What's your purpose? What's your assignment right now? I want you to ask God. I want all of us just to ask God. If there's, you know, and if there's not, I feel like some of us have actually discarded the spiritual gifts because we've mixed them up with our identity. And we've come into this performance-based thinking we're not good enough. And I feel like God really wants to bring an alignment, to be in alignment with heaven, to be in alignment with the word of God this morning, and to really release you. And some of us will need to repent for that. Some of us will need to repent for making it about us, because essentially that's what we do. But this isn't a negative thing. I feel like God is, I'm so excited, and Gino, I don't know if you want to come, if there's anything on your heart to share. Yeah. And like, so like, yeah, I really feel like God wants to do some business with us this morning. So just bear with us one more minute.
All right, so I'll share this really briefly. When I was asking God about today, he gave me three words, purpose, gifting, and action. And so I was asking, what does that mean? And then he was talking to me about really purpose being like your assignment or your calling. And obviously gifting here in the church has been very clear that we have prophetic gifts and healing gifts and teaching gifts, very, very strong, which, you know, I will honor, you know, the leadership in the church for. And then action is where it really starts with you, and it's really knowing what your assignment is in God. And so just we've talked about identity, which is who you are, and calling, which is more to do with why you're here. And your assignment is what you do. So I just wanted to make that distinction for you, because we don't often know what we do, and your assignment can change. So I think in this church, some of you guys' assignments have changed, and it's not the same as it used to be. And maybe you don't do what you used to do. So now it's figuring out what is your new assignment? What does God have for you? He always has something for you. He always wants you to do something in the kingdom of God. So just making that difference, really. That's what I thought.
Yeah, awesome. So what I'd like to do is, like, when I was sharing this with Gina, Gina's like, well, we got to have an action. There's got to be, what do we do with this? So I felt like, okay, a call to action. We are a prophetic people. Amen. We all have Holy Spirit inside of us. And I just want to take a moment now. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you have not been baptized in the Spirit, I just ask everyone to close their eyes, please. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I ask you to humbly just make yourself aware to me now. Just raise your hand. Just going to give this opportunity. There's anyone in the room. Okay, wonderful. I see you. Thank you. I see you. So I'm just going to pray now. We're just going to pray. And so, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you are our Lord and Savior. I thank you that you died and you rose again for us. I thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back. And I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. And those who raise your hand, I will come and speak with you. I'm going to ask anyone who's on the prayer team this morning, can you come forward, please? Is the prayer team me?
All right.
Don't worry. If you're on the prayer team and you want prayer, we'll pray for you too, if that's, you know, a problem. Yeah, come on. We've got the Maurice. All right. Cool. Wonderful. And they get badges. So this is it, really. So we're just going to now. Is it all right if I close the meeting?
Yeah.
So we're going to close the meeting. But before we do that, if you have stopped engaging with God and the spiritual gifts, if you've dismissed yourself, come forward for prayer, repent, do whatever you need to do. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. Let us speak truth into you. If you've put prophetic words on the shelf and you have, you know, you've forgotten about them, or you don't have a prophetic word, come and get one. Come and get some encouragement. Amen? Amen?